Coming up is the news.
As the U.S.-Israel genocide in Gaza continues for the 166th day, the death toll of Gazans exceeds 31,900, mostly women and children. The Israeli occupation army admits its failure to intercept a missile fired from Yemen and hits the vicinity of the southern port of Eilat. And Iran's leader congratulates the nation on the Persian New Year, naming it as surge in production through people's participation. Hello and welcome, everybody. Israel keeps dropping bombs and firing artillery shells on Gaza, further indicating the regime's specific goal to commit genocide in the besieged territory. Here's a video showing critically injured Palestinians at a hospital following fresh airstrikes on the Nusayrat camp in central Gaza. There are new airstrikes on the Buraij refugee camp also in central Gaza. Over three dozen Palestinians have lost their lives in the latest Israeli bombardment of the two camps. The Israeli military also once again opened fire at Gazan aid seekers, killing at least 30 of them. It took place when the regime forces targeted a gathering of popular committees formed to secure the transfer of aid from the Kuwait roundabout to Gaza City. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza since October the 7th has topped 31,900. Over 74,000 have also been injured. Moti Abu Musaber, our correspondent in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah, updated us on the latest Israeli massacres in the besieged strip.
Let's begin from the central area of Gaza Strip, where as the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre over the last night against the Palestinian civilians, particularly in Nusayrat refugee camp. At least 27 Palestinian civilians, mostly women and children, were massacred after the Israeli warplanes destroyed their residential building in the center of Nusayrat refugee camp. It is another appalling massacre. At the same time, the Israeli occupation forces also renewed their airstrikes against Al Buraij refugee camp. At least seven Palestinian civilians were massacred as well over that attack. Continuous Israeli airstrikes are still hitting the central area of Gaza Strip. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery also maintained its strikes and shelling against the residential areas in the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city. When it comes to Gaza City, the current situation is still catastrophic at all levels. As you have mentioned, the Israeli occupation forces committed an alarming massacre against the popular committees which were formed by the members of the big families and tribes in Gaza City in order to facilitate and safeguard the delivery of the humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza Strip. The Israeli warplanes mercilessly attacked them, claiming the lives of at least 30 Palestinian civilians in that attack. In the meantime, the brutal Israeli aggression is still continuous against the Ashifa Square. The Israeli tanks are still firing their shells against the residential buildings, while the Israeli airstrikes are still continued relentlessly against those areas. More Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed over the last night, while the Israeli tanks also maintained their gunfire towards the Palestinian residential areas.
The Hamas political bureau chief says Israel is sabotaging ceasefire talks following the deadly raid on Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, which killed dozens of Palestinians. Ismail Haniyeh says the attack proves Israel's intent to obstruct medical efforts to save Palestinian lives. He said Israel also seeks to sow chaos and perpetuate violence against Palestinians by targeting police officers and government officials in Gaza. Haniyeh, however, stressed that Israel will fail to achieve its criminal plans. He vowed that during ceasefire talks, Hamas would remain committed to the rights of the Palestinian people. Negotiations for a Gaza ceasefire underway in Doha, with Qatari mediators saying a counterproposal could soon be presented to Hamas. Israel has laid a siege to Al-Shifa Hospital for 3 days now, abducting scores of Palestinians. The Israeli military has confirmed that a missile fired from Yemen hit the vicinity of Eilat port in the occupied Palestinian territories.
The missile forces also launched a number of winged missiles at Israeli targets in the Umm al-Rashash area in southern occupied Palestine.
Yahya Sarayi, the spokesman for Yemen's armed forces, said in a statement that a cruise missile was launched early on Tuesday from the country's territorial waters in the Red Sea toward the occupied territories. The regime's Iron Dome and aerial missile defense system failed to intercept the missile. There's still no report of casualties or damage, as the military claims the missile fell in an unpopulated area. Eilat port has already been struggling financially amid Yemen's operations against Israeli or Israeli-bound ships in the Red Sea. The Yemeni armed forces have pledged that they would keep targeting those vessels unless the regime stops its bloodshed of Palestinians and ends its siege on Gaza. And the Canadian government has decided to stop exporting weapons to Israel following a motion that was ratified by the House of Commons. The foreign minister announced that Ottawa will no longer allow weapon exports to Israel. That came after lawmakers endorsed a wide-ranging package that also called for a halt to weapons shipments to Tel Aviv. Melanie Joly emphasized that although the parliamentary measure is non-binding, the Canadian government has heeded the call to stop arming Israel. The move has angered the Israeli regime. Foreign Minister Israel Katz denounced the Canadian decision, claiming that, quote, history will judge. Canada's House of Commons approved a halt in weapons sales to Israel on Monday following a heated debate.
The European Union states that Netanyahu is using deliberate starvation of children in Gaza as a weapon of war. Human rights groups have spoken out against targeting of journalists, civilians, hospitals, aid workers. And the UN has called out for Canada for complicity in this because we provide the military weapons to Israel. Last night, Parliament called for an end to military aid to Netanyahu's government. And yet numerous military supply deals are still in the works. So will the minister respect Parliament and tell us whether or not deals like the guns from Colt and Kitchener and armed vehicles from Rochelle and Brampton will be sent to Israel, yes or no?
Canada had previously paused issuing military export permits to Israel amid the public outcry, but said it was still assessing applications on a case-by-case basis. But the issue remained at the heart of controversy as lawmakers and rights activists were demanding a complete ban on weapons to Israel. A Canadian pro-Palestine advocacy group has called the parliamentary motion a small step forward for ending the country's complicity in Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Canada has witnessed several mass anti-Israel rallies with demonstrators calling on the government to stop supporting the Tel Aviv regime. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has congratulated the Iranian nation on the Persian New Year. In a televised address to the nation, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei named New Year as surge in production through people's participation. Elaborating on this year's slogan, Ayatollah Khamenei said the growth in production will solve many of Iran's economic problems, including inflation and unemployment. That's why the leader added the issue of domestic production has been highlighted in New Year's slogans over the past years. Ayatollah Khamenei reviewed the previous Iranian calendar. As well, the leader said the country saw an outstanding improvement in the scientific and technological domain over the past 12 months. He also pointed to some key events that Iranians witnessed at home as well as those that occurred abroad. Ayatollah Khamenei said the most tragic of all those events was the one that took place in Gaza, a reference to the ongoing Israeli genocidal war on the besieged territory. Well, Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi made a televised speech on the Persian New Year as well. He said his administration did not sacrifice the future of the country by focusing on minor issues. Raisi touched on the efforts his administration made to boost the country's economic and industrial growth. He wished a prosperous New Year and said his government will do its best to control inflation and increase industrial production. The Iranian president also highlighted other domestic issues and pledged that his administration will complete half-finished projects. He added the government will direct the available funds toward production and infrastructure. Well, Iranians are celebrating Nowruz around the country as the occasion coincides with the holy month of Ramadan. Celebrating Nowruz in Iran dates back to thousands of years ago and comes along with many customs to enter the new year with a totally fresh spirit. Families visit each other and sit around the half-seen table praying for a good year ahead. About 300 million people worldwide celebrate Nowruz with traditions and rituals that vary in each country. In 2009, the United Nations designated Nowruz as an international event at the initiative of several countries that share this event. This year, Muslims in these countries are also celebrating Ramadan, which gives a holy vibe to the New Year's celebrations.
Nowruz, the beginning of the Persian New Year, has always given energy and hope to people celebrating the event to observe Iranian traditions and enter the new year with a totally fresh spirit. The arrival of Nowruz for Iranians is tantamount to shopping spree and finishing their undone work. Millions of Iranians embrace the turn of the Persian year and celebrate the spring festival with many ceremonial customs waiting to be observed.
Well, everybody is busy shopping. It is time of Nowruz and the new year. I have bought sabze, sweets and fruits. We're waiting for the new year to arrive.
Sofre Hafsin is unique, symbolic for the Nowruz festivity and its tradition. The Hafsin spread includes seven items, all starting with the letter seen in the Persian alphabet. Iranians say there's a history behind each element, including serke, vinegar, symbolizes patience and immortality, sumac represents love and compassion, sib, apple, is a symbol of health and fertility, Senjit, silverberry, is seen as a simulator of love and affection. Sabze, sprouts, symbolizes rebirth. Seed or garlic is a symbol of protection in the face of affliction. And samanu represents affluence.
This year it's different, as it has coincided with Ramadan. So we visit our family members and parents after iftar. And yes, it is great.
Nowruz is a unique opportunity for families and relatives to get together and visit each other. That is why Nowruz is regarded as a cultural bridge which unites people. This year, as Nowruz holidays coincide with the holy month of Ramadan, family members will most likely meet up after sunset or time of iftar when those who are fasting break their fast. Nowruz has begun and the Iranians are celebrating it as an ancient festivity to mark the first day of spring and the renewal of life and nature. This year, Nowruz has a different flavor to it as the Iranians are celebrating it with the holy month of Ramadan together, making it an exception. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Afghan people are making preparations to ring in the solar new year. Of course, samanak, the Hafsin table, fish and dry fruits are the necessities of marking the occasion. This year, Nowruz coincides with the holy month of Ramadan, so most gatherings are likely to be held during iftar meals, when people break their fasts.
We usually begin the new year by visiting relatives and the elderly. People exchange sweets and gifts, wishing each other a happy new year. Samank is an important part of the festivity beside other sweet meals. We also visit parks and hometowns with friends to embrace the revival of nature and greet the elderly.
Nowruz also brings the spirit of renewal and optimism as the blooming season arrives. Afghans traditionally buy or plant trees and flowers to bring new life into their homes and communities. This practice serves as a symbol of hope, growth, and resilience.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the arrival of spring and the renewal of the year, we are launching a tree planting campaign. We are trying to decorate the city with adorable colors and fresh vibes. I also urge others to pay attention to environmental stewardship and a greener future.
I congratulate all on the revival of the new year. I hope the coming year brings peace and happiness to our people and will be a year filled with job opportunities and blessings.
Despite the challenges faced by Afghanistan, its people find solace, joy, and a profound meaning in their cherished traditions and culture. For them, Nowruz is more than just a festival. It's a way of life that demonstrates their heritage and resilience. On the occasion of Nowruz, Afghan people celebrate the arrival of spring and the hope for better days ahead, wishing everyone a happy and prosperous new year. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has also issued a congratulatory message on the Persian New Year, also known as Nowruz. In his message to all nations celebrating Nowruz, Guterres said, "The occasion brings together millions of people across generations and nations." He added that the annual event promotes dialogue, good neighborliness, and reconciliation. Guterres noted that Nowruz reinforces peace, human rights, and dignity, which are actually the goals and values of the United Nations. He also called for bridging divides and fostering unity. Well, Israeli raids on the occupied West Bank have become almost daily occurrences over the past several months. The regime's troops abducted several people after conducting fresh incursions into several Palestinian towns and neighborhoods. Our Ramallah correspondent Mona Kandil earlier joined us with more details.
Israeli forces stormed several areas across the occupied West Bank. Let's remind our viewer, on Tuesday, a Palestinian carried out a shooting, wounding two Israeli security officers. One of them was shot and wounded, and he was in serious condition. This happened near Gush Etzion, between Beit Lahem and Al Khalil. Today, the Israeli forces stormed these areas in Beit Lahem and in Al Khalil, and the Israelis have stormed as well Jenin, because the hometown of this Palestinian who carried out the shooting and was shot and killed is the Al-Hashimiyah town in Jenin. The Israelis stormed the Al-Hashimiyah town, stormed several cities, several towns, and refugee camps around Jenin, and a number of Palestinians had been detained there. The Israeli forces also stormed Nablus, and they surrounded a house in one of the neighborhoods there. Clashes continued for several hours, according to statement from the resistance groups. And at the end of the day, one Palestinian was arrested. The Israeli military said that this Palestinian, originally from Jenin as well, he is a wanted Palestinian by the Israeli forces. The Israeli soldiers stormed the Al-Jalazon refugee camp near Ramallah, and a number of Palestinians had been detained. The Israeli forces also raided Jifna town near Bir Zeit, and a number of Palestinians had been arrested there. The exact number up to the moment is still unknown, but as every day we have been documenting the detentions by the Israeli forces.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting, according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Sheikh, a passenger or a crew member aboard an airplane, flying at a high altitude and bound for a distant city, let's say 2 and an hour or a half an hour to a 3 hour flight or journey.
Yes.
Has to drink water every 20 minutes to maintain his equilibrium. Do they have to pay kafara in addition to performing or offering the qada?
Well, if this work, like being a cabin crew, is necessary for him and he cannot take a leave or find another source of income, of course, in such a case, if fasting is harmful for him and maybe he will not be able to maintain equilibrium, of course, or balance, then he's allowed to break his fast by drinking water and make up for this fast later on, in terms of qada, of course. There is no kafara actually to be paid by such a person.
If a woman's period or menstrual cycle begins 2 hours or a few hours just before the Maghrib prayers, while she's fasting, will her fast be null and void for that fasting day?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because a lot of ladies happen to have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they observe fast in the morning, and later in the evening, to their surprise, they find blood, and they come to know that okay, their menses have just started. Of course, their fast becomes wide, even if it is 1 minute before the iftar time or before the Maghrib time. So they cannot make niyyah fasting, because fasting is haram for someone who is menstruating. So they should break their fast and eat something. Okay, even if they do not eat anything, fasting is void. She's not to blame if she eats something. She can eat, and of course, everybody understands in the family,
yes,
that, okay, every woman has menses, and she can eat without having to shy or feel embarrassed,
yes,
eating something.
All right. What rule, Sheikh Javid, applies to someone who immerses themselves in water wearing waterproof clothing, such as a diving suit, which does not allow the body to become wet and it's not penetrable?
Well, according to the fatwa of His Eminence, as I read actually, I would like to actually read the same fatwa without having to change anything. This is the exact fatwa which I'm going to read. His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says in his Ajwabatul Istifta'at, if their clothing has close contact with his head, it is problematic. It means it's a matter of objection. It is problematic to say his fast is valid. Hence, as an obligatory precaution he should perform, it is qadha. So this is the answer he has given, His Eminence has given on with regards to someone immersing himself underwater wearing a waterproof clothing.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you give me hope, deliver
this gift right to my home. مرحب مرحب يا رمضان أحيي قلوبنا بالقرآن حل ليالينا بالقيام أهلا أهلا بالصيام.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the blessed month of Ramadan. Sheikh Javid, is it permitted for a person to travel intentionally, on purpose, during the month of Ramadan in order to break the fast and evade fasting?
Well, there's no problem in doing that even in order to evade fasting. Of course, it's better not to travel except for a good or necessary purpose. However, when traveling even in order to evade the duty of fasting, one must actually break the fast, because as long as you are traveling, you cannot observe fast. So no matter what the intention, maybe you are traveling for in order to, let's say, to get something done on a journey, or maybe your intention is to evade fasting, there's no problem. Some people suffer from some kind of, let's say, dehydration problem, diabetes, or maybe other issues. They prefer traveling during this month and in order not to fast. That's okay. He cannot fast as long as he is traveling.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, a person responsible for performing an obligatory fast, this individual decided to fulfill his duty but could not do so because of unforeseen circumstances.
Sure.
For example, he prepared to travel after sunrise. He traveled but failed to return home before noon. He had not done anything that invalidates the fast, except that the time for making the intention of an obligatory fast has elapsed or eluded his mind. And that day is one in which fasting is mustahab or recommended. Is it valid if he makes the intention to perform a recommended fast?
Well, it's very much clear that as long as one has qada fast, he cannot make niyyah for a mustahab fast.
Yes.
Like, for example, the 15th of Shaban is a good day to observe fast, okay?
Yes.
Or any other, there are many days on which fasting is recommended. You have qada fast, you have mustahab fast. You cannot make one niyyah, you cannot fast with two intentions. Meaning that you cannot observe with the intention of qada fast and at the same time with the intention of observing a mustahab fast. So you can observe one fast, and that is the qada fast, not mustahab fast. As long as you have qada fast, you cannot observe mustahab fast. That's for sure.
Thank you. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah.
This is a special coverage of a live event.
Okay, we are interrupting our regular programming now to bring you live coverage of a speech by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the occasion of Nowruz, the Iranian New Year. And the leader of the Islamic Revolution is just about to start his speech addressing an audience of the general public on the occasion of Nowruz, the Iranian New Year. Let's listen in.
Saying that It's quite evident. It's as day that meeting you is what our hearts desire, and that your heart craves meeting the beloved, and we'll stick to our commitment, even if we lose our head, if we lose our life. Even if we lose our life, we still remain your comrades and followers, and others should also know that we'll remain to sacrifice our lives for you. Ill-wishers cannot take any action against this land as long as the revolutionary people are standing with your side. You are the son of Fatima. Peace be upon her, and she's the owner of this land, and the owner is, in his absence, there is someone, referring to the leader, who is there in his place. As long as you are there, we also have God's blessings for us. And these are the prayers that asking God to lessen our lives and to give you a longer lifespan. I'll sacrifice my life for you if you give me the order of jihad and struggle. We will be your followers even if we lose our lives. Repeating the same verse. Others should also know very well that we will remain as your follower. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful, and praise be to the Almighty God, and peace and blessings to our Prophet Muhammad. And his pure household and progeny. Happy New Year's to all of you. Every year we used to hold this meeting close to the holy shrine of the Imam Reza, peace be upon him, in the holy city of Mashhad. This year we are deprived of that blessing. So from far afar, let's express our feelings and send our greetings and felicitations to Imam Reza, peace be upon him.
واتبعت سنن نبيه صلى الله عليه وآله حتى دعاك الله إلى جواره فقبضك إليه باختياره
These are prayers in Arabic.
مع مالك من الحجج البالغة على جميع خلقه السلام عليك يا أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى
Peace and blessings be upon Imam Reza, peace be upon him. So again, allow me to say Happy New Year to you and to the entire Iranian nation. Well, we have this simultaneity of the spring of spirituality and the vernal equinox, which means that the Almighty God is actually offering us both sides of His blessings. Both His servants are taking advantage of the two blessings. Of course, the difference between the two is so huge. We both have the advent of nature's spring and also the spring of spirituality. We have the cool and pleasant breeze coming our way, coming the way of all the pious believers and servants of God. And the Prophet of Islam has been quoted as saying that do not cover yourself, not to stay away from the spring breeze, because the breeze that comes your way during the early spring days, that actually kind of refreshes the air and atmosphere. It also refreshes your body and soul. At the same time, it starts the growth of plants and revival of everything. So this is the same meaning is also true regarding spirituality. And when you have the spiritual breeze of the spring of the fasting months of Ramadan, that breeze also refreshes your mind and soul, and it also nurtures a human being and moves it toward perfection. So proximity with God during the months of Ramadan will be bestowed to a servant of God who is not negligent. So what's the spiritual breeze of Ramadan? It's the very obligation of fasting. It's the night of power or measurement. It's the supplications and prayers during the day and during the nights of Ramadan, the Abu Hamza prayers. These are all spiritual breeze that blows in the direction of the mankind that's resolute and firm, and it refreshes him. It makes human beings flourish. There is this feeling of taking action, of getting to learn better. These feelings and sentiments are augmented. And from a state of spiritual pessimism and inaction, you're taken away and you just move out of that shell and that state, and it makes you an honest and pious individual. Well, in the month of Ramadan, you move toward piety. You become the pious servant of God. And the pious servant of God in the world, God has promised them that the earth will be inherited by the pious people. This is the reward that piety has. Also in the next world, God says in Arabic, that there too in the next world, the pious person will be standing at the same ranks of the prophets, the martyrs, and such individuals. This is the power of the month of Ramadan. This is the art of the month of Ramadan. That means a person who is not negligent and who is pious, this person will be moved forward and will make a headway spiritually. So hopefully our endeared nation and then entire Islamic community, all those servants of God who care about spirituality, they will use this spiritual atmosphere and they will make a headway in that direction. So today, I prepared a number of points regarding the slogan of the year. Also, maybe a couple of points as regards national interests. of the nation. I find it necessary to talk to you about. Now, as for the slogan and the motto of the year, what has been raised is actually the motivation, the reason behind this, raising this motto, is that we want thoughts to be focused on this strategic direction. So it's the motto of the year usually is actually the strategy of the basic strategy and component of the strategy of the country. It's for the statesmen and officials and for their efforts to be directed that way. So we on one hand, and then we also have the public and also the people's understanding and people's demands on the other hand. So this is how we raise the motto of the year. And this has been a tradition for us for quite some time. As regards the, actually what the mottos of the year, they usually refer to economy as a pivot. Well, last year we had the motto of bringing the inflation under control and also a production boost. So we have official statistics that have been confirmed and verified. Well, they indicate that great things have been done in that connection. Of course, it's still far from what is desired by us. We still need to make more efforts. So I'm saying here that last year we had the motto. So it's the same demand that we have this year too. It's part of our basic functions and responsibilities that all of us, government officials, statesmen, and activists need to follow up on. Of course, this year's motto is somehow more outstanding. The slogan is a surge or a leap in production. And that seems to be a Herculean task, and maybe it sounds like something not feasible. Many individuals might think so, but I believe that given the second part of the motto, that means the people's participation, it is feasible. I mean, in case we find this opportunity, that we could have the people, the people's resolution, people's initiatives, and people's presence on the scene, and people's involvement on the economic front. If such a thing happens, actually it will be a popular mobilization on the economic front. Then, in that case, the production can also witness a surge and a big leap. So the economy is a major issue. It's one of the points of weakness of ours for certain reasons, economic issues that we're facing. If the economic status is a desirable way, then it will influence and affect all other aspects. I could say it will both affect the material and the spiritual world, both. Well, we sometimes hear that they say there are certain countries that have advanced the economy, but people's livelihoods are not necessarily good enough. It's because of another reason. It's because they don't take heed of justice. They do not heed religious teachings. And that's why people are not that well off, even an advanced economy. So for long years, the adversaries have been trying to bring us to our knees economically. Very seriously, the adversaries have been doing this. We have seen this in the antagonistic moves of the United States and its cronies in the course of the time. They mean to see the economic collapse of Iran. They intend to bring the country to its knees in terms of economy. Of course, on the back of determination and efforts of our youth and lots of attempts and efforts made both by the people and the statesmen, the enemies have failed to do so, and they will still fail to do the same thing. Anyway, when it comes to economy and economic issues, the adversaries have been serious and they have been active. We too need to be active. We need to follow up on our activities. We need to have a strong resolution and determination. We should think properly and we should move indefatigably and around the clock. Now, for the economy of the country to flourish, we need all the small and big cogwheels of industry and different aspects to start working and turning. Everybody needs to work. It's the country's infrastructure that needs to be tapped into, the people's opinions, initiatives, and plans. Also, the management skills of economic activists and also management activists, we need to use all their potential. The well-educated youth of ours, we also need to use their services. Science-based firms and companies need to be supported. All of these are tools and means that, if used properly and paid attention to, without a doubt, the country's economy will see a boom. Of course, this will happen, and of course, with the unstoppable efforts of the officials, and we see that the current establishment, in terms of attempts and activity, we should say that it has acquired a high score, and they've been doing the job properly. This is what we intend by the slogan, by the motto of the year. We believe that the issue of economy needs to be heated, and to be successful, we need to tap into people's participation par excellence. We want all the forces to be mobilized, so it's the skills and arts of our officials to find a way and to be able to do such a thing. So this is the first year of the seventh economic plan. So the major goal of this plan is the flourish of the economy intermingled with justice. But for the end of this plan, there are certain goals that are really important, like, for instance, the inflation rate that needs to be reduced to single digit, the correction of the budget structure, the reforms in taxation, and minimum production of 90% of basic commodities inside the country, domestic production. These are great things that need to be done. Higher productivity in terms of agricultural water and irrigation, that's one of the problems the country is facing. In the seventh plan, it's been heeded. And also, we have some huge national projects. So if you want to attain these objectives, in my opinion, it will not be possible without the people. People should be involved. This is what I want the Iranian people to bear in mind. Every person has his own capabilities. We're not at the same level. We're not all equal. So the contributions are not at the same level, but the entire contribution that could be made, we need to have plans so that with people's support, we can attain our objectives. Slogan of expressing readiness to the leader. Readiness to take action. Thank you. Thank you for this expression of preparedness. Well, preparedness, I am confident that our people are prepared. But, you know, it should be possible for them to actually get onto the stage and roll up their sleeves and work. This is what you did during the Holy Defense, referring to the Iraq-imposed war in Iran. People showed their preparedness in all different ways. So hopefully we need to do the same thing at the same level of participation economically too. Now, in terms of science, technology, art, culture, and some other aspects of the country, this popular mobilization is what's essential. But now, for now, we're concentrating on economic issues. I'm of the opinion that people have great potential and capabilities. Now, we had an exhibition in the same religious center, and at close quarters, I was just able to see what people have done, people's own initiatives and people's own investment. I've visited that at close quarters. And for 4 years, I believe it was maybe I spent more than 4 years, I visited all what people had done. It was really amazing. It was great. So it indicates the high potential and capacity that our people have when it comes to production, to economic plans and programs. Some youngsters came here and they gave speeches and they that they had done great things in terms of economy using their own initiative. So capabilities are there. Skills are there. We need to tap into them. So in some sectors like large economies, like optimization of water consumption, and like oil, handicrafts, transportation, and all these fields, our youth have worked. They have made attempts, and they have had their own initiatives and plans. They have done outstanding jobs. So in terms of economy, internationally speaking, we also have some activities, and without that, the economy will not move forward. So, talking about foreign policy, I'm addressing the government officials here. With countries with whom we have economic ties, we have signed lots of MOUs. They need to turn into some legal contracts according based on which action could be taken. So this is what the officials need to pursue. Another point is the issue of productivity. I'm not going to delve into it. Maybe in another opportunity I will speak about productivity. We have a lack of productivity. I mean, the amount of investment made, you know, is not proportioned in terms of water, electricity, our time, our life, and energy. This is not proportionate. We are not making use of it, you know, in an optimal way. There are ways for this. There are solutions. They're all solutions, and the others have experienced this. So we also need to do work in that field, too. So these are the issues related to the motto of the year. Of course, this motto that we raised this year doesn't relate to one certain year. It goes on, and this is not something that you can do and complete in a matter of a year. So hopefully this year, Iranian calendar year 1403, officials need to strongly take the first steps. They have their own plans, and hopefully they will push ahead with those plans. It'll take more than a year. Of course, there's some concerns. There's some people who really care about the issues the country is facing, that they have this preoccupation or concern that in case we involve the people economically and get them make investments, maybe this will lead to some divides among the different walks people and to some corruption, and this has happened already. Of course, this is a concern. It should be there. It's justifiable. In the past, we had some individuals who used government possibilities. They used credit lines and loans, foreign exchange at reduced rates, and they did not use them, apply them in the way they were supposed to. They went a different way, a different direction. They took advantage of it. They abused it or misused it, and there was discrimination. So this requires the officials to keep their eyes wide open and to be cautious. And they need to take action quite cautiously. So this is what's necessary to be done. So that was what the points I just wanted to talk about, the motto of the year and the economic issues. Suffice to that. So there are a number of points regarding the general issues of the country. The first one being that this year our national interests and the bright prospect of ours depend on hope and faith. I've already given a speech about this in detail last year, so I'm going to emphasize it here again: hope and faith. If the beams of hope, a rays of hope, are not there in our hearts, nothing will happen. We have so many potentialities for progress. We have so many youths. They're talented. They're skilled. We have our people who are ready to get to work. And we have so many natural resources. We have this great and outstanding geographical location. We can make progress. We can make great headways. Since day one after the Islamic Revolution victory, we have made great strides. Well, the enemies try to ignore them all. And there are also some individuals who are not able to express this properly. But we can still make greater headways. But that will happen if you and I are hopeful. We should have our hopes in the future. We need to be hopeful that it's possible to work, it's possible to move forward. Now, there are hope-inspiring elements. We have so many of them in our country, things that inspire hope in you. We have a multitude of them. The very same scientific advancements that you see in industry, in the health sector, in space, and also the progress made in our foreign policy, what's actually can be seen in our country in terms of security, the security that we enjoy. On the 22nd of Bahman, or February 11th, we had several million people all across the nation. They take to the streets enjoying full security. So the election is held again enjoying full security. You cannot see this all over the world. Not in many countries in the world do you see such a thing. Such popular participation on the stage, such security, and such great accomplishments. These are all hope-inspiring. They give us hope. Now, there is this feeling of pride that is augmented in our people when they see such things. As we speak, thousands of groups of our young people are working